Hello, everyone. Jack here again from Radio Laurier, here for another interview with Ivy Chen. Today, we're talking to RC Kaname. RC, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself? Introduce kind of what you do, your background?
Thank you. Thank you, Jack. My name is RC Kaname, and I'm the bicycle mayor of Waterloo. I'm part of like the Bicycle Mayor Network, which is founded and managed by an organization called BYCS. So if you check out BYCS.org, or it's pronounced Bikes. That's based out of Amsterdam in the Netherlands. It was founded, I would say, about 6 years ago or so. And now we have about 150, more than 150 bicycle mayors around the world.
Wow. Very nice, very nice. We'll pass it on to Ivy, and then we can get it into the interview.
Thank you so much for your time. Today, we would like to understand a little bit about what specific bike initiatives have been implemented in Waterloo and Kitchener region to promote environmental sustainability.
We have a good number of initiatives, Ivy, for bike infrastructure and cycling related. But before answering your question, I just wanted to highlight with the infrastructure, and if someone tells, talks to me about cycling infrastructure, the thing that immediately comes to mind is the physical infrastructure. So here we're in Laurier. If I step out, like on University, there's a bike lane.
Yes.
So that's part of the physical infrastructure because we can see it.
Yes.
And I can use it. But it's also important with regards to the human infrastructure or soft, they call it the soft infrastructure. Wherein it's promoting cycling, education. Like if I don't know how to bike, I hope someone helps me to, and I want a bike. Someone would help me, would be able to help me, and I'll go through that in the interview. But that's also very important, the human infrastructure side of cycling. And with regards to the initiative, I'd like to highlight the first on the physical side, the Downtown Kitchener Cycling Grid. I hope you've heard about it, but basically it's the city of Kitchener together with their community. Over the years have discussed the importance of having cycling infrastructure, the physical infrastructure in Kitchener. And they determined that it will be good to have a cycling grid within downtown Kitchener. And they approved it a number of years ago, I think 2 or 3 years ago, more 3-4 years ago. And now it's I would say, almost completely done. So if you have time, you can check out the downtown cycling grid in Kitchener.
Yeah, I saw the perimeter board to indicate how many bicycles and
that. Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yes. Yeah. So that's on the physical side. I wanted to highlight as an initiative. On the, and I actually, I looked at their website, and for the first 7 months of last year, 2023, so it's new data, there's an increase of 164%, which is for me like, what? It's a big number. And also 54,781 cycling trips during that 7 month period from January to July 2023.
That's been a surpassed the target. I mean,
Like
over 100%.
That's right. Yeah. Which just shows that on the physical side, physical infrastructure side, if you have a safe infrastructure, then people will use it or will try it. You can see it. There's a safe bike lane here. I'll try it. On the human infrastructure side, I'd like to quickly highlight what I've been doing, which is it's called a school bike bus. It's a group of parents initiated it in a school here in Waterloo, and I supported them. We bike together as a group that looks like a bus. It's just a long bus if a lot of people are attending. And the first one was in June of 2023, so last year. We had about 15, 16 kids and maybe 6-7 parents. And then at the end of the pilot, it was a pilot school bike bus. We had 34 kids, I think. And again, same number, a bit more parents, but also we had some guests like the real mayor of Waterloo. Mayor Dorothy McCabe was there together with city staff and other people who were really interested. So that's on the soft side. And maybe you'd ask me, RC, why is that important? It's because we would show directly to the parents and the kids that it's a safe option going to school. And we encounter at least 30 to 50 drivers on cars once we're biking around, and they will also say, hey, this is fun, and they will just slow down because it's lucky the community is a 30-kilometer community in Uptown Waterloo. So it's somewhere in Uptown Waterloo. Sorry for the long answer, but...
Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. Would you please outline the goal and objective of this bike initiate in terms of reducing carbon emissions and promote eco-friendly transportation alternative?
Yeah. And that's a really good question, because one thing with the bike is it's human-powered. So imagine, I mentioned about just the bike bus. If it's 18 kids, let's just say per family, there are two kids. Let's just say. So it's nine families and nine cars off the road. A regular car, internal combustion engine car, will emit greenhouse gas. It will have a greenhouse gas emission. And during that travel to school, it's zero, because the families, the kids, they were just biking. So naturally, cycling will have a positive effect in bringing down our greenhouse gas emission, making our environment, specifically our air, cleaner. But also there's a benefit to, in that very simple example, nine cars off the road. If there are more people who are cycling, there's more chance for people to not drive. Especially, and this I'd like to highlight, for short distances, like our bike bus, it's 2 kilometers, maybe less. And we're going at a pace that's with the smallest kid. The smallest kid would in a way, set the pace. And so it's a good way to go to school and be good to the environment as well.
Yes, and also a healthy way
exercise. That's the bonus that I always think of. We can go slow, but it's a natural way to exercise. They say you need 30 minutes, so I'm getting older, and I need at least 30 minutes every day, and that's why I try to bike 30 minutes every day.
Yeah. And do you foresee any challenges have been encountered in promoting bike as a sustainable transportation option, and how have these challenges been addressed?
The big challenge for me is related to safety. We would just look outside, there's a bike lane, but there are cars that are running over the speed limit. So I think here, because it's a four-lane road, it's at 50 kilometers per hour, but there are cars that go above that speed. So that's one thing wherein if a cycling infrastructure is near a high-speed road, then there's a safety concern. As a Laurier student looks at that and doesn't feel safe, they won't bike. But if it's designed well, wherein there's separation, here there's separation. I hope it's more separation. Maybe having a boulevard or plants here, cars there, biking here, pedestrian here. It'll make it safer. But now it's just, at least it's separate, but it's just a thin concrete with some light bollard that cars can easily go through as well. So I think that's one thing we're in. A big challenge is how can we lower the speed of vehicles? And Waterloo has passed last year, for most of the city now, it's 40, from 50 to 40 kilometers. And in certain neighborhoods, I mentioned about Uptown Waterloo, where the bike bus, where we go through, it's 30 kilometers per hour.
30 kilometers.
But that's just a sign. Like, it just says 30. And we still see, when we're going around biking there, we would still see people going above that speed. So to address the challenge is the infrastructure itself. If it's narrower roads, when you're driving, you see a narrower road, it's just natural that you would slow down. So that's the more longer term, in a way, plan.
Yeah, so I can. Yeah, yeah, you're so right. Because when you mentioned about the speed, I remember what I in Europe. Then I can see the city like a Belgium and Amsterdam.
Yeah, Amsterdam.
The whole city, like a university city, like Waterloo.
Yeah, yeah.
They have so much students. They yes. actually use a bicycle yep. as their transportation.
And also, not just cycling, but also walking, because it's lower speed and it's walking. And can I add one more for the challenges? It's the mindset. When we, like I did myself, when we migrated here, it was in a mindset where our friends were saying, hey, like, buy a car. And so we eventually bought a car, and I just drove. And our nearest supermarket, which is like Freshco, is literally 1 kilometer away. And back then, I was driving every time going. Now I find it strange because it's 1 kilometer, a bit of exercise. I have a rack now and pannier bags. I can put the milk, bread, whatever usual stuff. So it's a mindset. Mm-hmm. So for shorter distances, I think the bike is a good. So this is also a challenge, I think, because we're a car centric. Infrastructure. We have car-centric infrastructure.
So we need more like education basics to raise awareness.
That's
so
right.
So people realize.
Yes.
Yeah.
When that's right.
Have more option. But yep. thank you so much for the insightful discussion.
Yep.
And can you discuss any partnership or collaboration between government agency, non-profit organization, and local business to support, expand like bike infrastructure and programs?
Yes. For the infrastructure that we have here, like on King, but also I think the downtown cycling grid, there are funding from the provincial, but also federal government. So that is very important. We now have an active transportation fund. It's a $400 million fund that started in, I think, 2021. So there's a 5-year window, so until 2026. So all our cities have, in one way or the other, applied for funding. And when they get approval, then they have projects like the cycling grid and like the King Street infrastructure that we have. So it's important to, I just wanted to highlight the funding from the higher or on the provincial and federal government, but also some funds from local government. And in the local government, it's really having the staff push for it and be knowledgeable about active transportation, the bicycle infrastructure, and be able to then discuss that with the elected officials who then approves the budget. So it's those are the important, in a way, components, and having them work together with advocates like myself. We have a really good advocacy group here, Cycle WR, which like I support, and I hope like everyone would support, because they are the ones who are regularly having that conversation. So it's advocacy group from the community. We have elected officials, we have the staff, and we have some other funding sources from provincial and federal government.
Then how do you assess to the effectivity of this bike initiative in terms of increasing bike ridership and
yes.
reducing reliable on the motor vehicles?
Yep. I highlighted the figure earlier with the sound cycling grid. We're in the 7 months last year. There was 164% increase in people biking in downtown Kitchener. I think we will have similar results if we have those safe infrastructure. And one challenge we have right now is we have a growing or improving infrastructure, but they have to be more well-connected. Intersections have to be safer. Because now if you have a safe trail or safe separate infrastructure, but when you go to an intersection, if it's unsafe, then there will still be hesitation for people to bike. So safe infrastructure to lower the speed, and for bikes and people walking to be able to safely cross. So those are, I think, the like important, in a way, the components.
Are there any plans to expand or enhance existing bike infrastructure in Waterloo or Kitchener region to further promote environmental sustainability?
Yeah, I think that's one good thing with all our cities is that there's a certain level of commitment to improving the infrastructure. But it's different when they promise it as opposed to if you review their budget. So the key thing is the budget. That's what CycleWR does, is the budget of Waterloo, Kitchener, and Cambridge. They will review it. So you can take a look actually at CycleWR.ca, and they have a budget review of all our cities and the region. And if they see if the active transportation infrastructure for cycling is increasing compared to the overall budget. And that's, I think, one good thing happening the past few years, which we hope will still increase over time. I mentioned about the Kitchener Downtown Cycling Grid, or Downtown Kitchener Cycling Grid. The next phase of that is to connect it better to neighborhoods around Kitchener. So you imagine downtown is here, all the neighborhoods will then also have a safe way to go to downtown, but also interconnect among the neighborhoods. So that's one of the, I think, next step for Kitchener. For Waterloo, we have hoping there'll be something similar in terms of the cycling grid for Kitchener. So Uptown Waterloo, we have a good infrastructure, but definitely if it's similar to Kitchener, having that cycling grid would be a good next step as well.
That's so wonderful. And how do we engage with a community to get feedback and suggestion for improving bike infrastructure and programs?
That's a good, really good question. And with the community, we work with, I mentioned already, of CycleWR. They have events, and they have a way to have that conversation with the community. So that's one. But the other one is they have, like I think 2 years ago, they had a survey in terms of cycling, like your impression in terms of biking, and there was a good number of people who answered the survey. So the online side as well is also very important. And for all the infrastructure that we have, there's a standard process of asking the community a question in terms of, we will be installing, let's say, a bike infrastructure here, and this is our plan, what do you think? So getting feedback from the community. So it's important as a resident of Waterloo, I would check what's happening, and I would also email my counselor. And if need be, I would also try to talk during the council meeting. So that's, I think, an important, in a way, process, so that my voice or the voice of the community will also be heard. And it will always be a two-way street with the council, but also with the city staff as well.
Thank you so much for your efforts to make the city a little bit better and impact people around you, including the community. Then can you discuss any innovative or unique approach that have been implemented to encourage more people to use bike as a mode of transportation in these regions?
I think this past year or two, there's been some really good either a new service that came online. I'd like to highlight the Neuron, the orange e-scooters and e-bikes. That's a really good way, service wherein those who don't have a bike and want to, let's say, from here, I want to go to a bar in Uptown Waterloo. You can walk, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, but you can ride the e-scooter, e-bike that half the time. And you just need an app and be able to then use the e-scooter or e-bike. So that's, they call it like shared micromobility. And that was a project by our cities, but also the region of Waterloo. And again, it's a good example of like all of them working together to come up and work with, they chose Neuron Mobility as the partner to provide the e-scooters and e-bikes. So that's one. The other one is secure bike parking. That's one thing I noticed with people or professors professors I know here in Laurier, but also in Waterloo, they themselves have, or their students have encountered bikes being stolen. So it's also important with regards to secure bike parking. And we have a really good solution of secure bike parking. The city of Kitchener has a fenced parking facility I think 5 or 6 locations, City Hall, the library, the market, and it's just a fob. There's a fob that you can get, anyone who lives here, a student can get, and it's only $10. It's one time. So you get a fob, you now can get access to the City of Kitchener secure bike parking facility. Again, it's fenced. You open the door, then you lock your bike. So there's two security methods. And what I've discussed with Kitchener, but also with Waterloo and the region, is why don't we make this a standard? And maybe have it on the phone. Mm-hmm. Like if you can, it's technology that's already existing, that you can unlock with this, or in the future with your phone, and you have a secure fenced parking facility, which is an important thing for growing that bike infrastructure as well. So those are some examples. I hope, like if we look at Laurier, but specifically with Waterloo, being our engineering organization, they tend to focus more on cars. They have a what car for sustainable car and all that good stuff, and the autonomous car. Mm-hmm. I hope we can transition into having also cycling technology in the future. So more innovation in cycling. Like one thing that's growing right now rapidly is with electric vehicles. So Waterloo has so many like battery technology. Why don't we use that and also use it for the bike? And so from a watt car, we also have a watt bike that we can use all those technologies not just for ourselves, but for the world. So more people will bite.
Very interesting. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Giving us a lot of great things to think about, and the listeners a lot of great things to think about as well.
Yep.
All right. Have a good rest of your day.
Yes, thank you.